With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The Big Red Copcast is brought to you by Corn Nation.
For Nebraska and the Scarlet.
From Van Nuys, California.
About 15 miles away from Hollywood, California.
It's the Big Red Copcast.
Big Red Copcast.
With Ryan Tweedy.
5'11", 200 pounds, pure muscle, from Lincoln, Nebraska.
And Joe Canale.
Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
Now, the Big Red Copcast.
All right, so welcome to the Big Red Copcast. I'm Ryan.
I'm Pat.
And today, we have a super special guest with us, Kent Pavelka. How you doing, Kent?
Doing great, man. Good to have you. Good to have be on the show with you guys. How long have you been doing this now?
This is episode 45. So we've been doing it a little over a year. And It started out very different. Like, we started out doing, because we're all comedians that do it usually. Me and Pat do the interviews, but the actual podcast part is for comedians. So we did a lot of bits, and they weren't really funny, and they didn't hit well, so we've kind of switched formats a little bit.
So now we just have, now we have you and Matt Davison tell jokes for us.
Yeah, people like that a lot more.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, we're in the midst of basketball season, and kind of tell that, you know, you've had a late night flight. What's kind of been your take on the basketball season so far, and you know, just your feel as you know, from heading into the season to where you are now?
Well, I don't think I'm unlike most people that are fans. You know, great expectations after last year getting to the tournament for the first time in 17 years, and everybody back from last year's team. And you know, I got to go back to probably July when I went down and watched them, you know, scrimmaging in the summer amongst themselves. And I really thought at the time that they would be able to follow up last year with a really good season, you know, and so I'm just as surprised as everybody else. But, you know, obviously I live this every day and I've given it a lot of thought and you know, analysis and in the end, one of the first glimpse thoughts I had when I watched them over the summer was, who's going to shoot the ball? You know, who's going to shoot the front perimeter shot for this team? And, you know, in the end, that has been one of the big problems. You know, this team is shooting less than 30% on threes. They don't have a Drake Baronic, a Paul Molander, a Ray Gallegos, you know, just a dead three shooter. And that's hurt them a lot, you know. Teran Petaway is going to be a pro, but he's a streaky perimeter shooter. And, but so that, you know, I mean, just the obvious things that everybody else knows, perimeter shooting. I didn't think rebounding would be as big a problem as it's turned out to be. And I guess the last piece of the puzzle that I think most everybody overlooked was last year Nebraska kind of snuck up on everybody. And, you know, this year, unlike last year, every opponent has been fully cognizant of the potential of Nebraska, whereas last year they were not. So, you know, in the end, it is what it is. You know, they could play 300 games, 500 games, and it is what it is this year. Having said all that, I'm not, you know, I may sound terribly disappointed. I am disappointed, and, you know, but I'm not down on the team. I'm not down on the program or the coaching staff at all, because I know what's coming next year. They've got some really good recruits. And to some extent, I think, you know, this is an example of, you know, a sophomore slump. You know, you come in last year as a team and you exceed expectations. And how many times have we seen it over the years in every sport? For the following year, if you don't have that really long tried and tested pedigree, you got to learn to win consistently year after year after year as a program, and they're just kind of going through the growing pains of that process, I think.
Right, and it's weird because there's kind of a different levels here of. So last year is the very first year I ever got up at 9 a.m. to go to a bar because I don't have cable to watch a Husker game. Like, I'm a very – like, there's something about Tim Miles that really draws me in. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I really – in the new arena and just this new vibe of Husker basketball, like, it's turning non-believers into believers and, like, non-fans into fans. How long do you think and I'm literally asking this from someone that doesn't know – like, how long do you think Tim Miles is given before it's like, all right, you have to win X amount of games before they start putting him on these, like, Bo Pelini-type levels? How long do you think he gets for something like that?
Oh, I think that's light years away. And I don't think it's going to come to that. I mean, I think that I really don't. I mean, I think, they've got three really good kids coming in next year, and two of them from the Chicago area that are going to play and contribute immediately. And so I don't think it's going to come to that. But it's interesting that whole question you just asked. I mean, you started off talking about what a rock star Tim is and how everybody's drawn to him, and then the left turn is, so how long does he have before he gets run off?
That's Nebraska, right? I mean, that's sort of how we do.
I think his half life is not on the charts.
Right.
The guy is a rock star. I mean, last night at Maryland after the game, you thought Mike Krzyzewski was there. I mean, people were just swarming him, and it's a phenomenon. I mean, the guy is just so likable. And has everything down as far as personality, and it's all the real deal. But you're right. I mean, that's not going to last forever at playing 500 basketball. So, I don't think that question is answerable. Who knows
right. How
long anybody has in any given endeavor.
Right. I mean, Nebraska fans are fickle, I guess, is my main point. I mean, what town are you from again?
I grew up in Lincoln.
Oh, you grew up in Lincoln? I thought you grew up in a small town for some reason. I grew up in Lincoln, too.
No.
So you grew up
I'm
right in the
Lincoln
epicenter.
Rocket.
Oh, I was a Lincoln High Link.
I'm the only small town guy.
We went to the two most ghetto schools in Lincoln. Neither one of us could get into East, huh?
When I was at Northeast, we won state championships in football and basketball with regularity. So that goes back a while.
Lincoln High has never won anything.
As far as fans being fickle, I think that to compare Nebraska basketball with football is a misnomer from the standpoint of this program hasn't even gotten there yet as far as any longevity is concerned with success. So I don't think anybody now. Yeah, I mean, will we see 15,000 fans there every game if the Huskers, finishing the bottom third of the conference for three or four straight years? Probably not. But, I don't know if you guys have been to Pinnacle Bank Arena yet or not, but, I mean, that is a phenomenon as far as the venue is concerned, the Haymarket thing, and Miles, the whole package, I think that the fan base is very, very solid.
Oh, yeah. And I have a question in regards to that. With all the excitement around the Husker program and with the tickets being sold at Pinnacle Bank, how much of that do you think is kind of the administration's building of the big, shiny new arena? And how much of it is that personality of, like, a Tim Miles?
Well, I think it was just a great confluence of ingredients. It all happened at the same time. You get a new coach, number one. You get a coach, one-of-a-kind personality type coach like Tim Miles. At the same time, you know, you're opening up this new beautiful state-of-the-art arena, and then at the same time, you know, magic strikes and you go to the NCAA tournament. So I mean, all those things came together at the same time, and the administration obviously wanted to make a change after Doc Sadler, but who knew that it would all come together? You know, the beauty of it on the level of last year lasted 1 year. You know, this year hasn't been as crazy, but they're still packing them in. You know, and it's still, for my money, without question, the best arena in the league, if not the country.
Oh wow! I mean, it is great. It's so interesting to hear that after all the years of of the Devaney being dubbed the library. It's really, I think, just like you say, a game changer for Nebraska.
No question about it, man.
What game was it? I went to, I can't remember now.
I think you saw Rutgers.
Yeah, Rutgers. I went to see the Rutgers game.
No, you saw Indiana because we lost.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Indiana, it was right before I came back from like my Christmas vacation, and it was my first game at the vault, and it was amazing. Like, it was loud, and it was rowdy, and there was like people like angry, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I know that's not the right thing to say, but like, people would get, they were getting riled up about basketball. Like, they were yelling at the refs, and they were like really in it. And it was really exciting. Like, it, I don't know, man. I haven't ever experienced that before for basketball. It was really, really exciting.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, transitioning from, you know, home games to road games, you know, you just came off of a little bit of a gauntlet of travel yourself. Focusing less on the team and more on you, we were talking before the show that you know, we're both used to that college sports travel, but I got out of it before I was 30 because it exhausted me. You've been doing this for quite a while. What's sort of that schedule like? Have you had to adjust to that type of travel over the years? Because it is a gauntlet. It's a bear.
Well, I mean, it's exacerbated by, you know, being in the Big Ten, these mega conferences that, you know, pair teams that are 1,500 miles apart, and in many ways it just doesn't make any sense. In many ways it does. But as far as, you know, like this most recent trip at Maryland, we left on Wednesday evening, and then, you know, we're done. The game is over. We're on an airplane back in Maryland. Time change. I mean, we gained an hour. We landed in Lincoln at 2:30 a.m. So it was 3:30 Eastern time, and then I drive to Omaha from Lincoln after riding on the charter. So I mean, you know, it's just and supposedly under the guise of it's all for the student athlete, right? I mean, that really serves the student athlete well, doesn't it? After the class the next day. You know, so. But it's about, I mean, if you're going to play, that's the paradigm. And so, I mean, you know, the option is there is no option, you know, at this level. You're going to be in a, if you're in a Power 5 conference, that's reality. And, but yeah, I mean, I still enjoy this as much as ever, but it's more work for me than ever, and it's more physically and mentally exhausting. It's a long, long season basketball, and I can't imagine how these guys in the NBA do it over the years.
Oh, but, man.
At any rate, it's, you know, it's big-time stuff and high-level, and that's just part of it, the reality of, you know, power conference basketball.
What's it like being in the booth with Matt Davison?
Well, you know, Matt's about half my age, and we started doing this about nine years ago. You know, I thought, I don't know how this is going to work out, but ironically, he's one of my best friends, and I think he would say the same thing. At least I hope he would.
He has on our show.
Yeah, he has. Spoke very highly of you.
He's, I mean, we just we just are really good friends, and so I have, you know, a tremendous amount of admiration. He's a talented guy, and he's good on the air. You know, he's good at what he does. So, you know, Matt's great to work with. He really is.
Now, you've done basketball and football over the years. You're a legend of the state of Nebraska. So you've had a lot of big-time calls. What would you say is your favorite over the years in either sport?
Oh, boy, I don't know. You know, I guess the one that comes to mind that gets still aired on the radio and over, you know, on over video clips is the Frazier touchdown run in the Fiesta Bowl, the 75-yard touchdown run, simply because it was a fantastic play and, you know, it capped an incomparable era of Nebraska football. It was kind of emblematic of the dominance of that team and everything that it accomplished and stood for. But, you know, there have been, on the other hand, games, football games, basketball games that didn't mean as much, you know, but maybe I was on my game even more. I don't have a library, an audio library of all that stuff, but I mean, that one would come to mind, you know. I suppose that question's best answered by the listeners, not me.
All right, well, I'll give mine then. One of my favorites was actually just this past year, the Michigan State game in East Lansing, when it really felt like the start of that run. That was one of my favorites to listen to. I just felt just engaged the entire time. I thought that really just kind of sucked everybody into Nebraska ball last year.
Yeah, that was a great game. I mean, and Matt and I were talking about that last night after the Maryland game, you know, about analyzing our broadcast. And then, once again, it's always the case that the better the game, the better the broadcast. And so the material was there for that to be a good broadcast in East Lansing. It was, you know, I mean, I throw these ratings out pretty casually, but, because... and I shouldn't, because there's been so many games over the years that I've done. But I would say that's got to be a top 10 broadcast, you know, as far as the meaningful, how meaningful the win was, and the game presented us an opportunity to do this great dramatic 2-hour broadcast and great upset, top 10 team, had everything in it, you know. So yeah, I agree, that was fun.
We interviewed you for Through These Gates, and my friend Nick was so excited to meet you. Do you remember he did his impersonation of the touchdown Tommy call? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
He still talks about that. Yes, he's still like, he's Ken Pavelka said my call was better than yours, Ryan, so I win. He still talks about that. So so when you add all that together, I would have to say that is it's just my favorite call. I mean, the game, the call, like everything about it is just, that'll always be probably my favorite Husker call. It'd be hard to beat. I think that Petaway or somebody would have to sink a three to win the national championship on the buzzer to beat that call for me. And then you would have to go nuts.
I'll tell you another one, Ryan and Pat, that comes to mind. I don't remember any particular play or call in it, but that Wisconsin game last year in Lincoln, the last game of the regular season. You know, it was a no-sit Sunday. Literally everybody at the vault stood the whole game, and it was like the Michigan State game, only it was at home, and it was more meaningful because, you know, you win it and you get in the tournament. And so, I mean, that one was one too that I don't know if anybody has any highlights from it, but that may have been the most thrilling broadcast that I have ever done. That one and the national championship in the Orange Bowl the year before the Fiesta Bowl game.
Now, I listened to, you know, all these games that you're mentioning. I haven't lived in Nebraska for a few years now, and so for a number of years, you and Matt have basically been my connection to Nebraska basketball, and a lot of times to just to Nebraska sports in general. you know, with a lot of games now on television, particularly in the Midwest, do you feel like you're a connection to those sort of expats, the people who have left Nebraska and are just now, you know, making their lives elsewhere? Do you think you're kind of that connection to the former members of the state?
I don't know. You know, I don't know if we are as much as we were back in the day, like you said, that, you know, because there wasn't as much television and even back in the day when, you know, there were a lot of people who enjoyed watching the game with the volume down on the mm-hmm. TV and the radio turned up, and they'd kind of, you know, they'd get the feel of the game from our perspective, and they liked that. But now that's hard to do because the audio and the video don't sync up because of, you know, the differences in how the satellite delivery
right.
winds up in your home over your TV versus your radio or your computer. So, I mean, it's hard to turn the volume down on the TV and listen to the radio because, you know, it's 20 seconds off. So, I mean, you know, and the proliferation of more television, you know, who wants to listen to radio when you can watch TV? I mean, a lot of people feel that way. So, I mean, I was fortunate to start doing this back when, you know, with regard to football, there might have been 3 games on all year long on television. So people had to listen to the radio, and I think they enjoyed it. But now people don't bother because why would you? I mean, it's on TV, right?
Well, you still got that tie to the farmers and the combines.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I mean, there are still people who make it a point of appointment listening to, you know, I want to listen to the radio, and they appreciate that. But I'm just saying it was easier to amass that audience years ago. Mm-hmm.
Growing up in Lincoln, and I mean, growing up a Husker fan in Nebraska, I feel like maybe it's because we were kind of in the middle of nowhere. It felt like, in my childhood, it felt like that. Did you kind of become? You know, do the stuff that you do, the radio stuff that you do, because of guys like Lyle Brimser and those type of guys? Or is this something that you just always wanted to do? Did you have like an idol growing up?
Oh, sure. I mean, I grew up in Lincoln, and you guys won't relate to any of these names. I mean, and Brimser's the icon, but there were other guys. There were other radio originations of Nebraska sports in Lincoln. There were 2 stations that carried the games with originating broadcasts, KFOR and KLIN.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I grew up with the guys back in my day who, you know, I mean, it's just the kind of the classic story. I was, you know, 10, 12 years old playing flag football, you know, touch football in the backyard and listening to the Husker game through the kitchen screen window of my friend's house and thinking, wow, that's kind of cool. That guy's doing that. And maybe I'd like to do that. And you know, just, I pursued it and it happened.
That's pretty cool. And you are like, you have become my generation's Lyle Brimser, you know, that's pretty awesome. That's a cool accomplishment.
Yeah. I have a stand-up bit written quoting both you and Lyle Brimser. So, you know, that's your legend now these days.
Say that again. You have what?
I have a stand-up bit quoting both you and Lyle Brimser.
Do a piece.
We'll save that for another time.
I can vouch for him. I've heard it. He does do it.
Is it too colorful?
It's color. Not that that's a problem on this podcast. We have no qualms with. But it's.
There's only one word you can't say on this podcast, and it's the coach who shall not be named. That's the only word we can't say.
And
do you have it on video, or do you have it on video? Or
yeah,
audio?
Yeah. I'll send it over to you. I'll send it over to you.
Yeah, cool.
It's too long to do right now, and I'm only a half cup into the coffee.
We're at 9:35, and I know you said you had a meeting you had to be to, so I don't want to keep you too long. I guess I want to ask if you'll do this for us. Is there any way that you will say the Big Red Cobcast has got it?
Sure.
That would be awesome.
Sure.
We will put it at the front of every podcast we ever do again.
What do you want me to say?
The Big Red Cobcast, Pat, you do it better.
The Big Red Cobcast has got it.
Okay. Yeah, that's all you want?
Just
like you would as a doing you know, a basketball call, like somebody hits a three. if you want to improvise something else too,
yeah,
you can do that.
Yeah. Anything you want to do.
Hi again, everybody. Kent Pavelka telling you the Big Red Copcast has got it.
Oh, that was awesome.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, man. That's pretty cool. Thank you again for doing this for us, Kent. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your day. We know you're tired.
Oh, that's cool. You guys have a good day, and I appreciate you asking me.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks a lot, Kent.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye, guys.